And we're back for lesson 11 of our podcast series on the book of Proverbs. Let's jump right in. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to study your word, to open your truth, God. Allow this word to take root in our hearts and our minds. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear. And I just pray that, you know, everyone would get something out of this lesson and the lessons preceding it, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If my prayer, just a FYI, if my prayers kind of sound weird, it's because I've been recording these kind of back to back. Like, I think this is like the fourth thing I've recorded straight in a row. So I feel like I'm repeating myself. So, you know, just, you know, some behind the scenes stuff. That's why kind of my prayers may sound a little weird. But anywho, hey, y'all. So we're going to get, let's go right in. So we've been talking about the family, right? And we're going to continue talking about the family today. We started Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. We talked about wisdom being the foundation of the home, and through we talked about marriage and the roles of husbands and wives. And today we're going to talk about parents and children. I want to go to Psalm chapter 127, verse 3, which says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." To ancient Israel, marriage, I read this somewhere, and I thought it was, you know, pretty clear, made it very clear. To ancient Israel, marriage was a bank where God dropped children who were his investment for the future, and it was up to the parent to raise those children in the fear of the Lord. Children were rewards, not punishments, opportunities, not obstacles. They were not burdens, but an investment that gave a return. So in the grand scheme of things, one doesn't spend an extremely long amount amount of time raising a child. It probably feels longer than it actually is. However, it is a crucial life-shaping opportunity. I remember I was talking to someone one time who just had a baby, and they said, you know, it's like a complete it's like a clean slate. Like, every decision that I make in regards to this child shapes who they are. It's like a blank slate, and my decisions will form who this person becomes. Like, will play a major part in who this person becomes. It is a big responsibility. There is more at stake than getting into the best schools and the best sports and the best jobs. This child has an eternal destiny, and parents are called to train their children to make it to heaven. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 27. So bear with me. "Listen, my sons, to the instruction of a father, and pay attention that you might gain understanding. For I give you good teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart take hold of my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not abandon her. She will guard you.'" This is wisdom. "Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your possessions, acquire understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Listen, my son, accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have instructed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil people. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of a dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know over what they stumble. My son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. They are not to escape from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the spring of life. Rid yourself of a deceitful mouth and keep devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Parents are to dedicate their children to the Lord. I was reading something that said the parent's role is not to get the child ready for the American dream, because that's an easy way to hell. The role of the parent is to raise the child in Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, "And you shall repeat them diligently to your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you get up." This is talking about the law of the Lord. Parents should deliberately teach their children in the ways of wisdom. It does not come naturally to children. Quite the contrary. Proverbs teaches us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, which reminds us that all humans are born sinners and foolish behavior comes naturally to us all. No Christian parent is perfect, for we all wrestle with our sin, and so we will make bad decisions. God's word makes it clear that parents have the responsibility to train up their children in the ways of wisdom. God is constantly using sinners to teach other sinners his way. And this is especially true of parents and their children. So, what should a godly home provide for children? Number one, an example. It should provide an example. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 says, "A righteous person who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him." Proverbs 31, chapter 28 says, "Her children will rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her." The way the parent acts in the home teaches their children more about God than what they will learn in church and Sunday school. When parents walk with God, they give their children a heritage that will enrich them throughout their lives. The best way to influence a child in that way is to be dedicated as a believer. Why? Because children sense hypocrisy quickly, and they understand sincerity. If we want children passionate about Christ, then we need to show them passion. You dedicate your child to Christ by dedicating yourself to Christ so enthusiastically that your child wants what you got. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge." Godliness puts beauty within the home and protection around the home. The world wants to penetrate that refuge and take our children, but godly parents keep the walls strong and the spiritual weapons ready. So that's number one, gives an example. Well, it should provide an example, right? Number two, a godly home should provide instruction. It gives instruction. Psalm 1:8 says, Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not ignore your mother's teaching. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, comply with the commandment of your father, and do not ignore the teaching of your mother." Proverbs 19:27, "Stop listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." Proverbs 7:1 says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you." Proverbs 5:12-13, and you say, "How I hated instruction, and my heart disdainfully rejected rebuke. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. This book contains a record of a father's instruction to his children that they were to hear and follow throughout their lives. The Bible should be your basic textbook at home. Every parent should pray and work so that their children will have some spiritual wisdom when the time comes for them to leave the home. Proverbs 10:1, the proverb, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." Proverbs 15:20, "A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 23, verses 15 to 16. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will also be glad, and my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Proverbs 23, verses 24 to 25. The father of the righteous will rejoice greatly, and he who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Proverbs 27:11. Be wise, my son. Make my heart glad, so that I may reply to one who taunts me. Proverbs 29:3. And a man who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but he who involves himself with prostitutes wastes his wealth. And Proverbs 13:1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Okay, so what should a godly home provide? First, an example. Second, instruction. It should provide instruction. And then number three, should be loving discipline. This is an area where society has truly influenced and impacted the family dynamic. Society says that whole spare the rod, spoil the child is outdated, and it's something that scars kids for life. Not so. Children must be disciplined. In love, of course, but it must be done, just as God disciplines us. When we refuse to discipline our children, we are telling God that he doesn't know how to parent or raise children. Proverbs 3, verses 11 to 12. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his rebuke. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. And Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves them disciplines him diligently. Discipline has to do with correcting character faults in a child while there is still time. Let's see, Proverbs. Oh, no, I don't have a verse for that. Let's see. Where are we at? Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son while there is hope. Do not desire his death. That's Proverbs 19:18. I'm going to read that in the New International Version. I typically don't read that version, but I like this. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. Let's see, where are we at? Okay, Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. Though you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. It is tragic when children are left to themselves, not knowing where or what the boundaries are and what the consequences of rebellion may be. The writer Warren Wiersbe says this: I have a suspicion that many people who can't discipline their children have a hard time disciplining themselves. Whew, facts. What do we think about that? Start lovingly disciplining your child early. Let's see. Proverbs 29:15 says, The rod and a rebuke gives wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And then verse 17 of that same chapter says, correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. I think this discipline thing is important, because especially that verse where it's talking about where did it go? Discipline your children while there's hope. Do not desire his death. I really feel like that's referring to, you know, someone's gonna get your kid. You know, someone is gonna, if they're not gonna learn it at home, if they're not gonna get it right, you know, at home, something's gonna happen where they're going to learn. I know that there were, when I was in college, there were, you know, females who I could tell never got a strong talking to. I just we were never disciplined. You know, they become entitled. You know, they would say and do anything, and it was like, what's wrong with you for not, you know, getting with my program, so to speak. And I remember, you know, there were situations where they learned. They got the lesson real quick, whether it was getting popped in the mouth by another female, you know, whether it was being checked by a professor, you know, they're going to learn that you can't just do anything, talk any kind of way, you can't just do what you want to do and get away with it. Someone gonna teach somebody something. And, you know, as the parent, it should be, you know, it should start at home. Okay. Okay. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he grows older, he will not abandon it. You know, we hear this all the time. We've grown up in church, you know, hearing this. You know, I was reading this author, and he was basically saying, like, this is almost like a religious rabbit's foot, quote unquote, where people interpret it as, hey, they may stray, but don't worry, they'll be back. But what he was saying was that is not what the scripture is saying. The scripture says if the child is truly raised in the wisdom and the way of the Lord, they won't stray at all. And when they're old, they will still be following it. Now, of course, there are children that are raised in the nurture and the knowledge of the Lord, and they'll stray. But they can never get away from the prayers of the parents, of the seed that has been planted in their hearts. And parents should continue to trust in God for restoration. But basically what he's trying to impress is that Proverbs 22:6 should not be, you know, said so almost flippantly. God has ordained that parents are older and more experienced than their children and should therefore lovingly guide their children and prepare them for adult life. Now let's talk about children toward their parents. All of us have parents, and we need to grow in wisdom toward our parents. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 20:20, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. This is not what God wants. Exodus 20:12, honor your mother and father so that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. To despise our parents is to treat them as worthless. To curse our parents is to treat them as beneath us. To honor our parents is to treat them as worthy just because they are our parents. They don't have to earn our respect. We owe it to them. The burden is not on them, it's on us as far as God is concerned. How can we fulfill this obligation? You know, we don't have to agree. We don't have to stay close. Sometimes distance is helpful and necessary. But we can honor them by thanking them. Stop blaming them for their failures and thank them for their successes, even if they are few. Everything done, good or bad, made some type of impact. And bad things, you know, may have taught us to do better, taught us to rather do better in that specific area. If your parents were saved, if they were Christians, imitate them. Hebrews 13:7, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their way. Imitate their faith, not style, not their personality, their faith. Why? Because faith is what endures. You know, when you're adulting, you know, that is an opportunity that I find to come to terms with the reality of viewing your parents as people. And I think a lot of times, you know, young adults, we kind of struggle with that. We, you know, growing up, you see your parents a certain type of way. And then you get older and it's like, wow, you just a dude. Like, wow, like you just a woman trying to figure it out like I'm trying to figure it out. You know, and we have to give our parents that grace. They didn't do everything right. They don't always know that, you know, they're people. The same way we mess up, the same issues we have, they dealt with them too. And sometimes when we take a step back and look at them as just people, it kind of helps, you know. And again, everybody's situation is different. Everybody had a, you know, their own story in terms of how they grew up and their relationship with their parents. But I encourage you to take a beat, think about your own life, your journey, your struggles, what you deal with, what you're struggling with, how you deal with things, and then put yourself in your parents' shoes, you know, and start looking at your parents as people. And the same grace that you want people to give you, try to give that same grace back to your parents. That does not mean, you know, put putting yourself in, if depending on your situation, a toxic situation. If it is a toxic situation, you know, you manage yourself accordingly. But, you know, how do I want to say this? Do what you need to do. Ask God to guide how your relationship should be. Ask God to truly guide it. Ask God to reveal to you things about your parents that you may not have seen before. I think that's all I'm going to say on that. That's all for today. I know today was a little bit longer. You know, I'm trying to keep it down. But, I, you know, this the parent-to-child relationship is very, it impacts a lot. And it come and how our interactions have been with our parents really informs who we become as young adults. So, you know, take this time to reflect on the things that we learned. Ask God to guide you and show you things and reveal things to you in your relationships. And we'll go on next time. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to open your word. God, as we seek you this week, reveal to us things that we may not see about our relationships with our parents. Help us give our parents grace. Help us see our parents as just people. And just give us hearts of compassion, God. Give us hearts of forgiveness. Lord, just once again, we thank you for this time and another opportunity to open your word and learn your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thank you for this day. Thank you for this day. Thank you for coming out and, you know, listening. And I hope you all have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.